Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In 2008, a Seattle-based journalist, Steve Griggs, stumbled upon what would be considered the jazz version of what The Atlantic is calling a duplicate Mona Lisa, tapes in perfect condition of John Coltrane performing his most celebrated album, A Love Supreme, live in Seattle. So rare was this discovery that there had only ever been one other known recording of Coltrane playing the album live. Now, the tapes are being released today as a new record called A Love Supreme Live in Seattle. Let's listen to a bit of the recording. This is Acknowledgement off of A Love Supreme Live in Seattle. Now to discuss the history of this live recording and the importance of A Love Supreme are two authors who wrote the liner notes in the liner notes for this release, Dr. Lewis Porter, a pianist, composer, and Grammy-nominated author. Dr. Porter, nice to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Ashley Kahn, a Grammy-winning music historian and producer. Hi, Ashley.
Hey there. Great to be here.
Ashley, what was your reaction when you heard about this recording?
Well, there had been hints and allegations that there would have been another recording of John Coltrane performing this, but he rarely did it. So there was this, sort of relief that yes, there was not only did he perform it, but it was well recorded, and the quality of the tape itself, as you mentioned at the top of the piece, is incredible. It's really a discovery in and of itself.
Dr. Porter, why are recordings of this album so rare?
Well, I have kind of two thoughts about that. One is that there's only so many times in those days that somebody was recorded while they were performing. And as far as recording the piece again for the same record label, not only wasn't that typically done, typically the contract said you're not going to record the same piece for 5 years. And the idea was, you don't want the Beatles doing the same album twice. You know, mm-hmm. It's just that was the idea. But my other thought is now, having heard this tape and Steve Griggs having discovered it, I'm thinking, gee, maybe he performed it more than we know, but it was just not recorded.
Hmm. Ashley, for those less familiar, why is A Love Supreme thought to be one of the most important albums in jazz history?
Well, there's so much to commend it to that title. Mm-hmm. It's a very well thought out, constructed piece of music of four sections. So it's a suite, and it's done with the intention of reflecting who John Coltrane was spiritually, what his mission was, what he saw his primary message being with his music and with his career, which was basically, espousing a kind of universalist message of tolerance, of universal love and respect. So, elevating the whole idea of writing songs of love to a deeply spiritual, connective level, the kind of, comes straight out of the fact that he comes from a long line of preachers. He came out of the Black Church, but he became a man of the world, and his spiritual vision was very much a global one.
Let's listen to some more music off of the album A Love Supreme Live in Seattle. This is Resolution, the second movement.
Thank you.
Dr. Porter, in the liner notes for the album, you write that the original recording of A Love Supreme almost didn't happen. What happened?
There was some resistance to this at the record label. And it's funny because, you know, sadly, Coltrane died at the age of 40, but his producer, Bob Seale, lived, you know, another 40-some years or 30-something. And so he got interviewed a lot, and he liked to say, I would never tell John Coltrane what to do. We gave him total freedom. But the record shows otherwise. The record shows that they were desperately hoping that he would have something, some kind of a hit, because he came to them after having had a pretty successful recording of My Favorite Things for Atlantic Records. And so he did a whole bunch of different songs that were remotely similar to My Favorite Things. None of them took off. And when he said, I want to do a whole album length suite, well, you know, album length suites were fairly new at that time anyway. The Beatles hadn't yet done Sgt. Pepper's, which is kind of a concept album, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. not even a suite. And so they apparently balked and said, well, I don't know about that. Well, as it turned out, this was a way better selling album even than My Favorite Thing. So that's when Bob Thiel and Impulse Records realized, you know what, maybe we better just let him do what he's going to do.
We are discussing this album, A Love Supreme, live in Seattle with Dr. Lewis Porter and Ashley Kahn, who both wrote essays in the liner notes. I'm curious, Dr. Porter, I want to stay with you for just one more minute. This was recorded October 2nd, 1965, at the penthouse in Seattle. Where was Coltrane in his career at this point? Where was he also, what headspace was he in?
Well, the interesting thing is that he was always moving kind of quickly. You've, from one year to the next, a lot changes in his music. It's part of what's so exciting about his recorded legacy. But at this time, as Ashley noted, he was deeply thinking about spiritual issues. And he kind of conceived of A Love Supreme as a kind of an interfaith celebration of religion and of belief in God. And he was, it was funny because he was a generation older than the baby boomers. He's born in 1926, but he was right up to date. He was reading the Bhagavad Gita and he was reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And he was interested in the same things that a lot of the so-called hippies were into. And somehow he was thinking about making his music more free and opening it up a bit. But I just want to add one thing that I love about him is that he didn't take himself that seriously. In fact, you can hear his sense of humor on this album at the end of the recording. He jokes around a little bit.
Ashley, let's talk about the quartet at this point. You write in your liner notes that it was beginning to pull apart right about now. What was happening?
Well, basically, John Cole, you know, to reflect what Dr. Porter was just talking about, you know, the experimental charge was being, he was putting the accelerator on that at this point and had invited two new players into what was like a classic quartet. And for many people, including some members of the quartet, why mess with a good thing? But he was driven to continue to expand the music, to try new things. And he had invited a second bassist and a second saxophonist, famously Pharoah Sanders, into the lineup. And then he was kind of, you know, even turning the shows into a community event. And, you know, much like a Sunday service, the music itself becomes this kind of participatory act where anyone can come up if they're, you know, if they're players, of course. And in this case, Carlos Ward, who was just getting his career started, alto saxophonist, probably best known for his work with Abdullah Ibrahim, he's there in Seattle, and he steps up and takes a very significant solo at one point, too. So there's this community kind of feel that's starting to become part of the Coltrane aesthetic.
Well, let's listen now to the third movement of A Love Supreme live in Seattle. This is Pursuance.
Mm-hmm.
As we finish up this segment, I want to ask you both. Somebody now is thinking, I'm going to go get this. I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to bathe in this over the weekend. Dr. Porter, what is something you'd like people to consider or to think about as they're listening to A Love Supreme live in Seattle?
Well, they have to know that this is a period when Coltrane was letting his music become more and more free. So it's not mellow background music. I mean, it's intense. It's squawking, it's shrieking, it's powerful, it's preaching. But I think if you let yourself get into it, which after all must be what happened with the, over the years, millions of listeners that bought the studio album, A Love Supreme, if you let yourself get into it emotionally, it's quite powerful stuff, but it's not probably what you're going to put on for a candlelit, quiet dinner mood.
Ashley?
Well, I think you need to look at this historically and also see that, you know, the original album was meant to reach out and help heal a kind of divided world in the mid-60s. Mm-hmm. You know, John Coltrane was a proud African-American, and he was very aware of the civil rights movement, what was happening in America at that time, a very divided time. And now suddenly, in this moment, 2021, another version of A Love Supreme comes, and it's fortuitous, but also right on time.
My guests have been Dr. Lewis Porter and Ashley Kahn. We have been talking about the new A Love Supreme live in Seattle. They both wrote essays in the liner notes for this album. Dr. Lewis Porter and Ashley Kahn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.